नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट 38 chapter entitled The Appearance of the Demon Vritrasura. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Can I read translation purport and continue? Translation, text 38. With deliberation, one will see that the Supreme Soul, although manifested in different ways, is actually the basic principle of everything. The total material energy is the cause of the material manifestation, but the material energy is caused by Him. Therefore, He is the cause of all causes, the manifester of intelligence and the senses. He is perceived as the supersoul of everything. Without Him, everything would be dead. You, as that supersoul, the supreme controller, are the only one remaining. Purport. The words sarva vastuni, vastu swarupa, indicate that the Supreme Lord is the active principle of everything. As described in the Brahma Samhita 5.35, Ekopi asau rachayitam jagadanda kotim yat chaktir asti jagadanda chaya yada anta andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the personality of Godhead, Govinda, who enters the existence of every universe and every atom by one of His planetary portions, thus manifests His infinite energy throughout the material creation. By His one planetary portion as Paramatma, Antaryami, the Lord is all-pervading throughout the unlimited universes. He is the Pratyak or Antaryami of all living entities. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 13.3, Kshetragyam chapi maam vidhi sarva kshetreshu Bharata. O scion of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. Because the Lord is the supersoul, is the active principle of every living entity and even the atom. Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastha. He is the actual reality. According to various stages of intelligence, one realizes the presence of the Supreme in everything through the manifestations of His energy. The entire world is permeated by the three gunas, and one can understand His presence according to one's modes of material nature. ओम अज्ञान तिम्रंदस्य गणंजना शलाकाय चक्षुर्मिलितमेन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमती देवामृत स्वामिनीति नामिने। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। वंचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यश्च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। विद द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द सीनियर डिवोटीज प्रभुपाद डिसिपल्स, होप आई कैन से समथिंग। आई एम ऑल्सो हैप्पी दैट माई मदर एंड माई नीस आर हियर। माई नीस इज विजिटिंग फ्रॉम ऑस्ट्रेलिया एंड माई मम इज हियर फ्रॉम साउथ इंडिया, सो वीड लाइक टू welcome them to New Dwaraka. So I was meditating. First of all, like if we thought this purport is far out, and the translation as well, it's actually made very, very easy by Srila Prabhupada. It's so user-friendly and anyone can understand. Basically, what we read in the purport, the demigods are talking about Krishna. It's very clear. My brother-in-law actually took me to a yoga place in Houston. And he was proudly introducing me to all the Rig Vedas in the walls of the yoga center. I couldn't make head or tail out of it. It was, even though it was in English, it was just like, I don't think anybody can understand what it was written there. But we are so fortunate we have Prabhupada's translation and commentary. So even like ordinary people can understand. I was just meditating on the statement of our acharyas that how as devotees we have actually only one problem. We have only one problem as devotees. We as devotees, our problem is we actually have very little or no taste for chanting. So this is our problem. And if we can solve this problem, then there is no more problems. But in one sense, this problem of ours as devotees can never be solved. It's like Prabhupada, he was doing service in Advaita Acharya's temple before he left to the USA for the first time. And Prabhupada was weeping as he was doing service. And the pujari asked him, like, why are you crying? But Prabhupada didn't expand so much, didn't go into detail. Prabhupada just said, my spiritual master has given me a mission which is almost impossible. So I'm crying and praying for mercy. So our position is also like that. Our mission, in one sense, is almost impossible. Trying to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and develop a taste for it. Even in our parampara, even great personalities like Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya, even Haridas Thakur was Namacharya, was Brahma, but you know, some inconceivable reasons he was not allowed in the Jagannath Puri temple. But Jagannath, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, would send him prasadam every day. And Lord Chaitanya would send prasadam for Haridas Thakur, and Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur would just be chanting in his bhajan kutir. And one day when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him prasadam with Govinda, Haridas Thakur was actually lying down. So Govinda gave him prasadam, he just took a little bit. And Govinda went back to Lord Chaitanya and reported that, you know, looks like Haridas is not feeling well. So next day Mahaprabhu himself directly came with the prasadam. Mahaprabhu asked him, you're not feeling well, what's happening, Haridas? Haridas Thakur said, I'm fine, but my disease is I cannot finish my prescribed number of rounds. Of course, Haridas Thakur was chanting 300,000 names a day. And Prabhupada explains in the purport how, as devotees, it's considered to be in a diseased condition if you're not finishing our prescribed number of rounds. And Prabhupada is saying it's very difficult for the Westerners to chant, so we have minimized to just basic 16 rounds. And these 16 rounds should be chanted very loudly and clearly. So this was Haridas Thakur. He felt like he is not able to chant Hare Krishna. In a recent parampara, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he is actually saying, Mana Tumi Kishera Vaishnav, Pratishtara ತಾರೆ ನಿರ್ಜನಗಾರೆ ತವ ಹರಿನಾಮ್ ಕೇವಲ ಕೈತು. ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ವಾಸ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಲೈಕ್ ನೇಮ್ ಫೇಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಫಾಲೋವಿಂಗ್. ಸೊ ಇ ವಾಸ್ ಕ್ರಿಟಿಸೈಸ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ರಿಯಲ್ ಬಟ್ ಔಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಹ್ಯುಮಿಲಿಟಿ ವಾಸ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕಿಂಗ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್. ಯು ವಾಸ್ ಕ್ರಿಟಿಸೈಸಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ವಾಟ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಆರ್ ಯು, ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ನೋ ಟೇಸ್ಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ರಿಯಲ್ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್, ಯು ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಅಟ್ರ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್ ಪ್ರತಿಷ್ಠ ಫೇಮ್. Mahaprabhu himself said in the Sikshashtakam, Nam Nama Kari Bahuda Nija Sarva Saktis Tatrapita Niyamita Smaranena Kala Eta Drishi Tava Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdaivam Idrisha Miha Janinanura. Mahaprabhu said, Krishna, you're so kind, you're appearing as your unlimited holy names and you invested all your transcendental potencies in the holy names. But I'm so unfortunate, I have like no attraction for these holy names. So Mahaprabhu and the Acharyas, they're actually taking our position and pointing to us, what's our real problem, what's our real difficulties in Krishna consciousness. The real difficulty is we're not able to chant with feelings. In the memories of Hari Sauri Prabhu, he explains how when Prabhupada was asked about chanting, Prabhupada said that it took him 30 years to perfect his chanting. I don't want to get into the details. Of course, Prabhupada is not an ordinary person and he doesn't. But still, these are his words. Prabhupada said, it took me 30 years to perfect my chanting. So, as devotees, it's actually a lifetime career. It's a lifetime of practice. It's a lifetime of trying just to hear the holy names. This is all we have to do. We're not expected to worry about anything else. As materialists, materialistic people, they actually have millions of problems. Like Krishna says in the Gita, Bahusakha hi anantasya buddhayo vyavisayanam. People who are not determined and they don't have a goal in life, they have millions of purposes, millions of reasons to worry about. Like Prahlad Maharaj said, Adanta gobir vishatam tamisaram puna puna charvita charvana. Because of the uncontrolled senses, people are just going to hell, just repeatedly chewing the same old thing again and again. It's called PPCC. Puna Puna Charvita Charvanana. Same old thing again and again. Andanta Gobir. And Prabhupada explains the unfortunate situation of Kali Yuga is that there is no real head, there is no leadership which can guide people. Because the thing is, not everybody in the society or community or family is a leader. Most people are just simple followers. But unfortunately we have no head in society. So for lack of guidance, for want of guidance, people are totally bewildered. Prabhupada says, practically speaking, spirituality is dead. Just simply polished animal life. Ahara nidra baya maitunam cha samanya metad pasubir naranam. If you look around, it's just, you know, people have no clue what's going on, even materially speaking. Under the spell of illusion, we're just busy eating, mating, sleeping, dying. And just growing old and dying, again taking birth, growing old and dying, same old thing again and again. But it's very hard to convince people that there is actually something higher. It's very hard, especially in Kali Yuga. It's like, if you notice, like little kids, they love to suck their thumb. I was recently in Texas in a family gatherings was watching this little kid. It's like so ecstatic to suck his thumb, her thumb. And the parents are trying like anything to pull it out. But then it's like such a big ordeal, like drama, you know. And even the mother said even she has to put something bitter to be able to break the child out of the habit. But the child doesn't realize there's like so much to enjoy. Her whole world is like just sucking on the thumb and just like spaced out. So in material existence, our position is like that. We're holding on to some insignificant things and we have no idea of anything higher. And if you try to present, people are so scared. People are so scared when they see the saffron color especially. They don't want to, you know, they don't know what you're doing, but, you know, don't tell me. Just do whatever you like. But people are so scared because they're thinking you may be like taking them to something unknown, so they don't want to give up, you know, their petty sense gratification. And by some good fortune, if somebody shows some interest in spirituality, then immediately Maya becomes alarmed. It's explained just like if you're in a prison, and if you're just breaking rocks, and in California I think they make like number plates and stuff. And if you're just going on doing that, nobody bothers. But if you show some symptoms of escaping the prison, then immediately you capture the attention of the whole police department. It's like in Pakistan, they had like 400 people managed to escape through underground recently, like from the prison. One of the terrorist groups. I don't know how long it could have taken for somebody to dig a hole from inside the prison to outside prison and 400 can escape. I guess the guards are on something. So when we show some symptoms of like, you know, trying to get out of Maya, or when we show that we are a little bit bored with the same old thing, then immediately Maya becomes alarmed and she sends along so many cheaters who can give you something. It's also Maya, but you can think that you're something different. It's a very unfortunate situation. It's like when I was visiting a couple of days ago, my sister's place in Houston, my nephew got Brahman initiation. And there were so many people born and raised in, you know, Brahmin families and Vedic culture. So it was very interesting to speak with some of them. It's like this one person I was asking him. He was presenting, he came and introduced himself to me and said he's following such and such yoga system. I said, very nice. And then he says, I have a guru also. I said, that's wonderful. I said, so what's your goal? It's almost like he reacted as if I caught him off guard. He's like, so what do you mean? I said, what's the goal of your yoga system? Looked like he never thought about it before. He said, the yoga system, the goal, he says, is to completely empty the mind at the time of death. That's the yoga system, that's the goal, is to keep your mind completely empty at the time of death. And then his guru is teaching some kind of cleansing. Of course, we have also Cheto Darpana Marjanam, but they have some kind of cleansing process. They have cleansing process, and he's explaining how he doesn't have to go to temples, he doesn't have to read any books, don't have to do anything. He says, everything is already within me. And my guru has told me that I don't need anything to help me. It's already, everything is already in me and I am it. And my guru is trying to unlock it. It's like, you know, jailbreaking an iPhone or something. Just to have to unlock it. So I said, how do you do that? He said, oh, it's confidential. I said, can you share with me, like, can you tell me, like, you're chanting some mantra or something? He says, yes, but he looked at me like, are you crazy? You're asking so cheaply, like, these questions? You know, he says, it's very confidential, and he obviously had to pay a fee, and, you know, it was not cheap. So this is immediately, as soon as somebody shows some inclination, he's already captured by Maya. So much so that he's not, like, I'm telling him, look, you know, why don't you read the Bhagavad Gita? I know your guru is saying something, but people have read in our culture Bhagavad Gita for so many thousands and millions of years. Why don't you read the Bhagavad Gita? He says, oh, no, 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 it's not necessary. This is a beginner's level. So somehow or other, I ate with him. I felt so exhausted at the end. And then somehow I begged him to take the science of self-realization. Because somehow he admitted in between the dinner that he's having a hard time practicing sadhana bhakti, like in his own ways. So I told him, like, science of self-realization will not try to convert you, it will just help you to do whatever you're doing. If you're a Christian, it will help you to be a better Christian. If you're Muslim, it will help you to be. So finally he agreed to take the book. And another person was telling me how, you know, he doesn't like anything like formal, no rules, regulations. He says, that's why I'm a Hindu. Because it's a way of life. Anything goes. Just do whatever you like and be whoever you are. And so I said again, like, so what's the goal? What's your goal? He says, the goal is to, goal is peace. Goal is like stress-free and peace. So I said, if you take some ashwagandha, I'm taking also, it helps you relax and peace. Why do you need a religion for that, if you think that's all there is to it? So he was asking, so what's the point? So I was just explaining how, you know, Krishna consciousness philosophy works. And he also kindly took science of self-realization. So this way, it's the whole world is an illusion. People have millions of things to worry about. It's all based on ego. It's all based on ego. It's a very unfortunate situation. So as devotees, we have the right thing. Henechi aushadhi maya nasi baralahi. Hari nama maha mantra lava tumi mahi. Mahaprabhu said. How many millions of lifetimes, Mahaprabhu says, you're going to sleep in the lap of maya. Jeev jago, Gaura Chandra bole. Wake up and take this medicine I brought for your avidya, for your diseased condition of repeated birth and death in illusion. And Mahaprabhu is distributing this Maha Mantra. So we are so fortunate. Actually, when we're in the community, sometimes, most of the time, we take each other for granted and everything going on here for granted. But as soon as we leave the block, we realize, my God, you know, it's just like a zoo outside. It's just so, so scary. It's like, no association, no prasadam, no holy name. Even you have to chant holy name like a criminal. How long are you gonna, when are you gonna finish your rounds? How long? I wanna talk to you, you know, the demand, like, so we shouldn't take it for granted. We should be so grateful for what Prabhupada has given. And Prabhupada actually said that it's unfortunate if we don't know about Krishna, but it's most unfortunate if we know about Krishna and we're not serious. Prabhupada said that's the most unfortunate situation. And considering our lifespan and time in Kali Yuga, we actually have very, very little time left. Somehow or other, we've come to Krishna consciousness with later into our lives with so much baggage and conditionings and hang-ups and misconceptions. So we have our japa mala, but it's like a background music for all our mind wandering here and there. But we don't have hardly any time left. That's the reality. But Maya is so strong, but we cannot see it. It's like Maharaj Khatwanga. He was helping the demigods, and the demigods asked him, "What can we do for you?" I mean, we all go to demigods for long lifespan and money and beauty and health. But Maharaj Khatwanga requested them, "Can you tell me how long my life is? How much more time I have left in this life?" And they looked at him, his chart, and said, "Few minutes left." So immediately sat down and meditated on Krishna. But unfortunately, we don't know. We don't have no way of telling when that is. So we have to make best use of the time we have left. And that's why Prabhupada said a devotee should be adhira, sober. A devotee is one who controls the mind, controls the senses. Prabhupada says avyartha kalartvam, always chanting, not wasting even a moment. Because if you look at it, the world we're in, it's just a byproduct of simply uncontrolled senses. All the restaurants, all the newspapers, all the internet, all the movies, all the songs. It's just people's uncontrolled senses vibrating. It's nothing else. So as devotees, Prabhupada says we should be dhira, we should control, especially the tongue. And if we control our mind and senses and realize our situation in this world, how, you know, we've given very limited time. Prabhupada has put the boarding pass in our hand. It's like we're in the transit lounge. We shouldn't just shop so much that, you know, we miss the plane. So once we are conscious, then we can perfect our lives by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, and we can actually help so many people. What our responsibility is so high, because we are the only ones with the real teachings, real knowledge. We have some clue of what's going on. Nobody else does. I mean, I could be new agey and say like everything is one and everybody knows we are all equal. But the fact is, after studying so much about other teachings, unfortunately there's not much there. So Krishna consciousness is very valuable, and depending on how seriously we practice, then Krishna reciprocates. Yaya tamam prabhadyante tam statayu bhajamiham. And in the Gita it's actually said, Krishna says that that sloka, famous sloka, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajityante kalam. Krishna says, whatever you think at the time of death, that's where we're going. And Krishna says the best is to think of Him at the time of death. That's the goal of bhakti tradition. But some devotees ask me, what about if you are in a situation where you're not able to think of Krishna? If you're in coma or you're in, you know, some accident, you're dying without thinking of Krishna. This question is raised very often. But it's not a mechanical process. Like if you're trying to apply for immigration or visa, they look for every defects and try to disqualify you. But Krishna is the opposite. I remember reading in the temple in Kanchipuram, in the Varadaraja Perumal temple, very famous temple. In the wall it says, Vishnu is saying, it says in the Gita that my devotee should remember me at the time of death to come to me. But I say, even if they don't remember, I will surely remember them. And I will come running to them. So we have a very, very fortunate situation, win-win situation. So we just have to focus all our energies on chanting and reading and distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And make others fortunate, just like we become fortunate. And if we can understand these books, anyone can understand. This hope. Is there any questions or comments by yes, bro, Achita bro?
Thank you, bro. This kind of ties into something else. based on your little presentation here, that you're being judgmental of your relatives and others, obviously. So I wanted to touch on this point because it comes up so often that don't be judgmental. It's impossible. It's like trying to empty your mind or trying to give up desire. You will judge as long as you have a mind, as long as you're conscious, you judge everything you see, everyone you see. That is natural. What we should try to avoid is coming to false conclusions of what we're seeing and what we're thinking about. You can't stop judging. That's just natural. But try to avoid false conclusions. And the way to do that is, number one, become purified. The pure devotees are always judging everything they see, just like Prabhupada. I'll give you an example. In Laguna Beach, there was a man who was coming to the temple who was a bus driver. And he had an accident where he had killed somebody. So Prabhupada, when he met Prabhupada, he was still visibly shaken about the whole incident. So Prabhupada asked him to tell him exactly what happened. And so the man described. He was in the bus and the person did this and did that, and next thing you know, he ran over him. So Prabhupada thought about it and said, it's not your fault. In other words, he passed judgment. That's what we do. It's natural to pass judgment. So we have to become purified to make sure we're not making false judgment. And secondly, especially when you're not yet completely purified, is to have association. And that's one of the things I appreciate about Suvas, is that he's always judging what's going on here in this community. Who's doing what, why. But I noticed that he will come to me and others and he'll say, what do you think about this person? And what do you think about the situation? This is what's going on. What's your opinion? That's another way to avoid false judgment, false conclusions, is to share your judgment. Share your conclusion with others. And maybe you made a mistake, and maybe somebody else will give you a different angle of view. But we cannot stop judging. So please give up this business about don't be judgmental. It's not possible. You have to judge if you're alive.
Thank you for that. Powerful. Sachitanoi Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Very nice class. Yesterday, or a couple of days ago, we were analyzing the verses where this philosophy or the law is very contradictory. There's a lot of contradictory terms. In your class, you were mentioning that they were very fortunate, very, very fortunate, just being here with the Association of Devotees. I was just listening to a tape of Prabhupada before your class, and he was mentioning that he said that this philosophy of Bhagavad Gita was given to kings and saintly persons. And some other part of the literature says that do not disturb the mind of the innocent people. But then we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, and he comes, apparently contradicts everything, and he just gives it to everyone. Can you speak about that a little bit?
Yeah, it's ultimately compassion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful incarnation. It's like I was listening to a lecture, my Guru Maharaj says, just like if somebody is flying a kite and they're going backwards on the roof of a building and they're going to fall and die very soon, any sane person would scream to stop, or do something about it. So, in the similar fashion, like, we have left Krishna and we're suffering. So another girl that comes to our bhakti house, she said she follows some Lotus Sutra, which explains how her goal is to stay in the material world eternally and help others to do the same, but something mystical. And they have philosophy how to stay in the material world eternally. I say you don't have to practice anything for that. It'll happen automatically. So people are in so much illusion, but the point is we're like fish on the beach, suffocating. So Krishna and the spiritual master wants us to put us back in the water. So that's compassion, and that's the most needed. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being most merciful, is making the process of going from the beach into the water in a very joyful way, to the holy name and prasadam and dancing. So, yes, Prabhu.
Hi, thank you for a very nice class. I was also listening to Tate Vaishnava Prabhupada the other day, and there were some, it was a morning walk, and the disciples were asking Prabhupada about all the tragedies of human life and all the difficult things that happen. And they said, well, what can we do, Srila Prabhupada? And it was interesting. His comment was that a devotee, he tries his best. Just whatever they can do, whatever capacity they have, they try their best. But then he said that there are some things that you cannot do anything about. You can't do, you can't help everything. It's impossible. But he said the one thing you can do is you yourself should take the process. And you should deliver yourself. So, meaning that even if you have that desire, you become purified and you naturally want to give it to someone. But we shouldn't become frustrated because we can't save the world. That's impossible. And Prabhupada used that word. It is impossible. You will not be able to accomplish it. So there's going to be tragedy all around us constantly. There's always going to be someone you're going to meet that's going to have some problem and going to be completely, you know, off the wall, so to speak. But there's only so much you can do. And what we must do is not get deviated from the path and stay on the path and be focused and perform our austerities, our prescribed duty, and become detached.
It's like devotees like Radhanath Maharaj is even meeting President Obama and trying to influence the leaders of the society. Last quick point by... You have something?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for bringing up the most important topic of chanting the holy name, especially our japa. And I just remembered how my spiritual master regularly mentions that the way we chant our japa in the morning is the way we live our day, and which actually points out on a very important issue of our chanting connected to our lives. The way we chant is the way we live our lives. If we chant spaced out japa or inattentive japa, we're inattentive in our lives and we do so many mistakes and possibly offenses as well. And when we chant, as Srila Prabhupada was saying, that we beg for service, and actually we can judge how well we're doing in chanting is by how well we are doing in our serving Krishna and how well we are doing in developing ourselves in terms of, you know, Vaishnava qualities, 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. I heard one class where Srila Prabhupada said these qualities are so important that we should write them down and put them on the wall to make sure that all the devotees see them all the time and think about how to develop those qualities all the time. So, yeah, that there is a kind of indicator, spiritual indicator for how well we are doing in our chanting.
Thank you. Antara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.